It's NPR's All Things Considered. I'm Noah Adams.
And I'm Robert Siegel. 85 years ago tomorrow, McKinley Morganfield was born near Rolling Fork, Mississippi. He was raised by a grandmother who, legend has it, after watching him play in a creek, nicknamed him Muddy Waters. In 1954, Muddy Waters recorded the song that would take his name to a wide audience, I'm Your Hoochie Coochie Man, one of the NPR 100, our list of the most important American songs of the 20th century. From Chicago, NPR's David Welnup has this profile of the Hoochie Coochie Man.
The song starts out with a bold prophecy about a little guy who's bound to become one lucky stud.
The gypsy woman told my mother, before I was born, I got a boy child coming. He's gonna be a son of a gun. He's gonna make pretty women jump and shout. Then the world wanna know what this all about.
It's an unabashedly swaggering song. Musicologist Robert Gordon, who's writing a biography of Muddy Waters, says the bluesman learned it in the bathroom of a Chicago club called Zanzibar from his bass player, Willie Dixon.
Dixon has these lyrics. He recites them to Muddy in the bathroom. Muddy can't read, so he has to memorize the lyrics right away, and he tells Dixon, I'm going to go out now, and that'll be the first song I play, because, you know, he doesn't want to forget the lyrics. And he goes out of the bathroom onto the stage, you know, says to the band, okay, key of A, and ba-ba-da-da-da, and it was a hit.
I got a black cat bone. I got a mojo, too. I got the John the Conqueror. I'm gonna mess with you.
The mojos and bones come from the voodoo rituals Muddy Waters and Willie Dixon grew up with in the Mississippi Delta. But Hoochie Coochie was a come-on line that even white folks in the Midwest used, says Bob Kester, owner of the Delmark record label.
You know, it was a phrase that was already in, not just in the black, you know, thing. It was in my family, you know, back in Kansas, you know. But I'm sure it became much more used. Hey, baby, I want to be your Hoochie Coochie Man, you know. Come here often, you know, what's your sign? No, I don't want to be here, Hoochie Coochie Man.
Waiting on the Hoochie Coochie Man. Everybody knows I'm here.
The first time the great blues guitarist Buddy Guy heard Hoochie Coochie Man, he was 18 and itching to leave his rural Louisiana to play with the blues legends of Chicago. When he finally landed here 3 years later, he says it was clear the song's boastful lyrics were really all about Muddy Waters.
He was a son of a gun, you know what I mean? The way he did his music, you could call him a son of a gun. The way he would carry himself, you could call him a son of a gun. And the way he would talk to me as a child, you could call him a son of a gun.
Did he make the women jump and shout?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I think he made some men jump and shout, too, because I know I couldn't sit still when I would hear him sing Hoochie Coochie Man or whatever he was singing.
Well, I'm going away to live. Won't be back no more. Going back down south, child, don't you wanna go. Well, when I'm trouble, I be all good.
Muddy Waters scored his first R&B hit with I Can't Be Satisfied in 1948. It still had the sound of the country blues he played before leaving the Mississippi Delta for Chicago 5 years earlier. By the time he recorded Hoochie Coochie Man, he'd assembled what he later called his best band. Guitarist Jimmy Rogers, pianist Otis Spann, Willie Dixon playing bass, Fred Below on drums, and Little Walter blowing his harmonica like a saxophone. Hoochie Coochie Man was Muddy's 10th hit and his best-selling single ever. It clung near the top of the R&B charts for 13 weeks. But that didn't mean Muddy Waters made a lot of money, says Marshall Chess, whose father and uncle ran Chess Records, Muddy's label.
There were not many radio stations that played black music. White radio was very racist at the time. There was not distribution everywhere. In black neighborhoods of the big cities, there weren't many record shops. People bought their music at barber shops, sort of general store, package stores where they sold beer, milk, cigarettes, and records.
Still, it seems Hoochie Coochie Man's distinctive stop-time rhythm was not lost on another singer from Mississippi by the name of Elvis Presley.
If you're looking for trouble, you came to the right place. If you're looking for trouble, just look right in my face.
Legend has it that when Muddy Waters heard Elvis's 1958 recording of the Jerry Lieber Mike Stoller song Trouble, he said, "I better watch out. I believe Whitey's picking up on the things that I'm doing." But by this time, the racial makeup of Muddy's own audience had started to shift. That same year, he traveled to England with pianist Otis Spann and discovered he was better known there than back home. But the English cast him as a folk singer, and he obligingly toned down his amplified Chicago blues to suit his hosts.
He gonna make pretty women jump and shout. Then the world wanna know what this all about, but you know I'm here.
2 years later, Muddy was invited to play at the 1960 Newport Jazz Festival, and like his audience in England, this one was almost entirely white. Biographer Robert Gordon says with rock and roll's rise in the late 1950s, Muddy sorely needed new blues fans, and Newport presented him with a great opportunity.
He understands that he's facing his crossover moment, that this is a record-buying audience in front of him, and they are not his record-buying audience, but they could be.
I'm gonna make you girls leave me by my hand. Then the world will know I'm the hoochie coochie man.
With James Cotton at his side blowing harp, Muddy underscored this new exposure, ad-libbing a new ending to his signature.
Well, you know we are the hoochie coochie boys.
But ultimately, it was rock bands on both sides of the Atlantic that spread the fame of the Hoochie Coochie Man, from the Rolling Stones, who named themselves after another Muddy Waters hit, to the Allman Brothers. And in the tumultuous spring of 1968, even Muddy Waters gamely took part in a psychedelic rendition of the song. The record was a commercial, if not artistic, success. Music critics hated it. But Robert Gordon says such adaptations of Hoochie Coochie Man show how close this blues standard composed at the threshold of the rock and roll era is to both genres.
I would think that Hoochie Coochie Man is a keystone in the architecture of rock and roll because it was a song that could be covered by rock bands and sound like a rock and roll song and be done by blues bands and sound like a blues song, and basically they're all playing the same thing.
Only 7 hours, only 7 days, only 7 months, the 7th doctor said.
Muddy Waters made at least 24 recordings of his signature song during the nearly 3 decades he sang it. His final performances of Hoochie Coochie Man marked a return to the song's stripped-down origins. Until his death in 1983 at the age of 68, Muddy Waters remained the Hoochie Coochie Man. Buddy Guy recalls how at Muddy's funeral service, he went to the open casket to bid farewell as Muddy's music played over loudspeakers.
When I looked in his face with him lying there like that, and they was playing Hoochie Coochie Man and some other stuff by him, and I'm just saying, you know, this will live forever. You may be gone, but Hoochie Coochie Man will be here the rest of the life of this planet.
David Wellner, NPR News, Chicago.